Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Hour number three here on Thanksgiving Eve. Now, today, we are doing 4 hours of this program, the Now program, which preempts Voice of the People with Linda Sims. But guess what? We cannot not have Linda Sims here today. She is here with us in studio, along with the legendary restaurateur himself, George Kasotis, and Bob Welsh, author and pizza maker and big part of the family now, tops our Christmas tree ornament. Bob, give people, Friday we'll be back on the air. Now, audience, we won't be on the air tomorrow, so you can tune in to repeats of whatever we have on, but tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We're going to take the day off, but we'll be back here Friday morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock, and the tree will be up, and we're going, well, tell people what happened last year, Bob, and tell where we're going this year.
What happened last year? The day after Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, we did the famous Tur Pizza. And maybe we'll bring that back next year. But the day after Thanksgiving, something to look forward to, is Tree Decoration Day here at WWGH. And we made pizza topping for the tree, a star, with the WWGH on it there. And hopefully it has been well preserved, so it can go back up again this year. Doesn't have any extra greenery on it.
Bob made me nervous because we had it on our tree last year for a month, Linda. We had the pizza star topping, and then we put it in the box, and it's been in there for 11 months now. Now, tonight, I'll come back here, and I'll set up the tree so it's ready for Friday morning.
Right.
But now Bob says to me, well, it might be green. Now, I did not know there was a chance that this thing could go south. Did you know about this, Linda?
No, I did not.
No, we didn't know anything.
Though,
well,
this is really brilliant.
What happens if I get the tree star out tonight? It's green, Bob.
Well, I guess we'll celebrate Mother Nature taking over Christmas.
Holy mackerel. It's going to be but this year, on the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday is typically what it's called.
Right.
What do we have going on this Friday?
Well, again, we'll be decorating the tree. I do have a non-edible ornament to contribute to this year's decorations, but I'll save that for Friday.
And a dastardly item you're bringing in Friday.
Oh, yes. The infamous fruitcake pizza, which I think it'll satisfy some palates. Any fruitcake doesn't satisfy everybody, but I think this will make some people a little more cheery.
Now we're going to have to make sure Sarah gets a piece of that.
Yeah.
She's high in the fruitcake.
Well, I'm sure she'll be that way after eating it as well.
Oh, well. It might be a good old time here Friday on WGH Talk.
In fact, I think my wife's instructions were you can just leave any leftovers there and they can partake of it through the fruitcake toss.
Oh, your poor wife, as you're whipping up these culinary delicacies like the fruitcake pizza and the pumpkin pie pizza, what does she think?
She's happy that the fruitcake is leaving town.
I bet so, as we all are. Now, we've got some things. We've got 2 hours left here this morning, and we've got a big thing coming up here. Now, right now, George Kasotis, who's been in the restaurant business 70 years in the Marion area, who's had every drink underneath the sun, is going to sample, for the first time, the Fruit Quake Mountain Dew, which is the fruit cake flavored. Oh, Lord.
Where did Mountain Dew. From? Did Mountain Dew do that?
Mountain Dew did this. And Bob brought this morning because he thought we all needed to be ill over the holiday or something. Now, George, here we go. Now, George, before you drink this, so the people listening at home can hear this, what are your thoughts on a fruit cake flavored? And Linda will take a little drink here as well. I'm going to save mine for Friday. But, George,
the merrier.
What do you make of the idea of a fruitcake-flavored soda pop?
Wow. If he speechless now, wait till he tastes it.
Oh, my.
I, I just had some popcorn, and I need some liquid to put the rest of that popcorn down, and I don't know what this is going to do.
Well, it's, if you want to buy it, you can get it in your stores. It's called Fruit Quake with a Q. Mountain Dew, but it is fruit cake flavored Mountain Dew. George, let's count it down like new. Give us a toast us. What's a Greek toast?
What's a Greek toast? All is well.
All is well. Here we go. To your health and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Here we go.
Here we go. All right. George is knocking back the fruit quake. Well, he's putting it in the palate there. We're going to find out here.
He's thirsty.
Oh, George. Oh, my.
Wow. It does taste like fruitcake.
It does. It does.
Is that good?
Well, what do you make of that, George?
Well, I
he's speechless after 90 years. He can't. Oh, my.
I can't. I gotta get another shot.
Linda, well, George is going back into your health. Linda, what'd you make of it?
It's okay.
Only if you could see Linda's face
it's
at this
doable.
Particular point. It's doable.
She doesn't guzzle it like George.
No. No, I don't drink soda anyway.
George, where do we put that on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's not bad, but I mean, I don't know. I hate to say anything bad about Mountain Dew. And the company, what is that company, Bob?
It's the PepsiCo company.
Pepsi, yeah.
Pepsi? PepsiCo, is it called?
It's bottled by the Pepsi
by
individuals.
The Pepsi company.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything bad about it because my wife drinks PepsiCo.
Well, I have a Diet Pepsi over here this morning, but what we need, because people might want to buy this. Now, what would you say to them if they said, George, we know you've tried the fruitcake Mountain Dew. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you would want to drink this Quake stuff with a fruitcake.
No.
That would be too much.
Overpowering.
Overpowered, right. But it's palatable, and I just now swallowed about a half a glass, and the flavor is nice. It's fruity.
It's fruity.
It's a fruity-tooty fruit drink.
But it does taste like a fruitcake.
It does. Mm-hmm. It sure does.
Oh. Does it have that soap taste that a fruitcake has?
No.
Soap.
No.
Soap. Fruitcake tastes like soap to me. I think it's the anise.
Maybe you're getting the wrong brand of fruitcake.
Those Claxton fruitcakes, they taste like anise.
You're talking about Claxton's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they too taste like,
Yeah, they got that anise. And anise to me is a, am I wrong here? Isn't anise something they used to put in soap?
It's the licorice.
You could make soap out of anise, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, and you see, now everybody was looking at me like I was out of my mind, but here we go. George knew.
Yeah,
he's been around the block. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Well,
there's some more. Want some more?
Oh, yeah, I want some more.
All right, George is going to go in for another dose of the Fruit Quake Mountain Dew. Boy, I'll tell you, that was an interesting moment, Bob.
It was unbelievable just watching him sip. I guess that's the right guzzle. Get down it.
Downed it.
Yeah.
There, he's put it. Now, this is like a fine...
He's
wine.
He's swilling it like a wine.
Yeah, swishing it around.
I swished it around, and it tastes pretty decent.
So, what do they call that when you swish it around? Isn't that called sorbet or something?
Sorbet.
There's a term for that when you swish something around, and the wine tasters do
right,
that.
They do.
And then they spit it out so they don't get drunk.
Sorbet, yeah.
It's called sorbet.
Sorbet.
Yeah, we're a very upscale station here. We know things like sorbet. So, Linda, what'd you make of the whole thing?
It's doable. I don't.
Just doable is where we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
Bob, you had it. What do you think?
I don't think I enjoyed it as well as George, but I would certainly drink it if it was forced upon me. You know.
I'll try it Friday. But
I mean,
I always say I would not try it unless somebody else bought it. I couldn't spend money on that.
I've had better soft drinks.
Yeah. I we'll try it Friday, but I just don't know. To me, fruitcakes by themselves are awful. So I just can't. I don't know. We'll see Friday what happens, but it'll be interesting.
Right, yeah.
Now, George is going to join the Upper Crust Society here. Now, this is big. Now, Bob, for people just tuning in, I know it's about the third time you've explained it today, but that's good enough. How did this start, and what's about to happen?
Well, this started actually with the WWGH right here. We inducted you as the first member of the Upper Crust Society.
Which made it really, really highball.
That's right. It can only go up from there.
It can only go up from there. When you start that low, when the bar is that low, you can only go up.
But we thought it was an honor that you deserved, being the spokesman for Marion more than anybody else.
Well, listen, and I appreciate that, but I want to say that this plaque is on my desk at home, and it's right inside my door. Mm-hmm. Linda's been to my home. George, you got to come over sometime.
I've never been there.
Yeah, I can't believe George has never. We're going to have to invite George and Joanne over sometime. Well, you're always away on the holidays when I have parties.
Right, we always go away.
Maybe we'll have to get you over sometime.
Okay.
But this plaque is on my desk. When you walk in, I have an old roll-top desk that was my grandparents'. That was my will gift. And when you walk in, that plaque is right on that desk. So Linda can vouch for that.
Yes, I've seen it.
It is there. Right along, I was also Douseketeer of the Year from Martha Douse, and I have an Associated Press Award. So those are my three big deals in my life. All right, so Bob.
And it occurred to me this a little earlier from maybe the last hour's conversation. You know, they talk about the 6 degrees of separation and how, you know, you could measure that you know everybody in the world at least by 6 degrees. I think knowing George cuts it down to 2 degrees.
Oh, easy.
Easy. And so I think I could connect myself to anybody in the world just by through George's connections, and which makes him all the more worthy of being in the Upper Crust Society, because, I mean, you know, he is speaks well of Marion, speaks well of Ohio, and is just, he knows everybody.
For 90 years.
He knows everybody for 90 years.
Now, George is going, so what happens is we have a real piece.
A real piece.
Of pizza crust.
Not just a piece. I mean, this is an actual pizza, homemade yesterday, about an 8-inch diameter. And so we'll have George sign it.
And then what happens is Bob will take this home and shellac this deal. Now Bob's going to get some pictures here. Well, George is going to sign this momentarily. But then what happens is Bob will take the pictures of George signing this and a picture of the pizza crust itself, put it on a plaque, and present it to George on the 15th at the Fruitcake Toss.
Yes, well, we'll have plaques for the three inductees.
Buckeye Guy, Mary Ellen Withrow, and George Kasotis.
Later today here, and
here goes George. He's got the Sharpie.
He got the Sharpie.
He is signing the pizza crust, even as we speak, here on WGH Talk. Linda, you're here for history.
Yes.
Yes. Never again will there be history like
wow.
this.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great day. Great time.
It's a great. You know, I was just thinking, Bob. I'll have to talk to you later on about this, but
I get pulled in deeper and deeper every time I show up.
Every time you show up, it's a little deeper slide. But as soon as George is done, we'll talk about this. But George is signing the pizza crust, even as we speak, with a Sharpie, and boy, and he's got his tuxedo on. If you're listening on radio right now, looks sharp.
Yes.
I always say George is the tuxedo man here in Marion, without question. And then we're going to get a full-on picture of George holding his crust when he's done here. And that will go down to Columbus, and we'll produce a plaque that will be returned here on the 15th at 7 p.m. during the Fruitcake Toss. Now, if anybody has a question, they can call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Boy, this is big. Now, Bob, where do these go in your home?
Well, yours is still in the freezer.
Oh, it's still in the freezer. So it's on display for everybody to see.
Well, you know, it's got a light in the freezer when you open it there.
You think of me every time you go to the icebox.
But, and it's been shellacked well, but it's like
that. Hey, look at that signature.
Yes.
All right, now, George, here's the picture that we're going to put on the plaque.
Put it a little farther down there. We need to see your face.
Hold it a little lower there, George.
Lower. There we go. Lower.
Oh, history.
Take a picture of me, George.
Yeah. I tell you, this is history happening right here at WWGH, and we're always making history here. George has signed the pizza crust. My word.
Smile.
What a day it is.
Head up, George. Just a little bit. Yes.
This is I wish everybody could be here right now. This is one of those history-making moments. It is the holiday time. My word. George has signed The pizza crust and the induction will come on December 15th at 7 p.m. He will join the Upper Crust Society. Well, George, of all the things you've done in 90 years, where does signing a pizza crust rank in that whole spiel spiel?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I did this.
What, drank the fruit quake or entered the society?
That's a pretty neat signature, isn't it?
It is.
Signature.
Now, Bob, hopefully, will send all these pictures over today, and we can get them up on the website.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get the number from you, and then
we'll get them on here.
Right.
But this is good. Look at that, George. Show it to the camera. We do have a camera live in the studio. There we go. George Kasotis at 90 strong, 90 plus. Beautiful. All right, George. Now, this will now... Now, think of the people you're in there with. You're me, Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, and George Kasotis. That's it. At this point.
At this point.
At this, it's a big, big event, George. What do you think?
Oh.
How do you feel?
I feel real crusty.
You feel real crusty at this point.
Another slice of life.
It's another slice of life. Absolutely. So the Upper Crust Society inducts another member here on WGH Talk. And don't forget, boy, we've got 30. Here are the 34 names, by the way. 35. And the Fruitcake Toss. Tuesday night, December 15th, 7 p.m. Fruitcake Lily, Sarah, Judy Cressup, Glenn Coble, Angie, Buckeye Guy, Pastor Whitaker, Ralph Thacker, Don O'Bauer, myself, Brandon, Sean, Terry, Linda, Adam, George Kasotis, Judge Edwards, Mayor Schertzer, Mary Ellen Withrow will be the official judge, Bob Smith, James Anderson, Dr. Davis, Mike McGinnis, Bob Welsh, Abby Chase, Lieutenant Brown, Sheriff Bales, Fire Chief Chuck Dean, Mayor Kellogg, Ed Pickett, Ted Jolliffe, Mr. Neal, Jacob Barnhart, Jeannie Evers, and Jackie Welsh. So there you go. That's the 35. And the list can continue to grow as we head into the month of December.
Ooh. I'm thinking at some point you might have to hire the Goodyear blimp to cover it.
It's becoming a big event here. Yeah. You know, and the winner, it's a really big thing because you get that plaque, you get that certificate, and you get that fruitcake, and you get dinner that night. So it's a big, big event. Now, George, as you look back on the history of Marion, what are some of the fun things you've been a part of?
We were at the old hospital on Delaware Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And your station, your studio was back behind there. That was one of the nicest evenings I think we've ever had.
Oh, yeah,
And it was so fun, and it was so good that I took you guys out to dinner.
Steak dinner.
That was a steak dinner.
Steak dinner at Dakota Grill, and you picked up the tab.
Ted was there. Ted Williams.
Ted Williams. Mary Ellen Withrow was there.
Mary Ellen Withrow.
And the Bob Hope impersonator, Lynn Roberts.
Robert.
And his buddy Chuck Carson.
Right.
Santa Claus.
What a night that was.
That was a wonderful get-together.
And it was, you know, it was in December. It was in December.
Yeah.
But it was like today. It was like 50 degrees or something like that. And it was so nice. I just enjoyed that night. And I can't remember what year it was. Do you
remember? Boy, probably 2012, maybe? Maybe about 10 years ago.
About 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good night. We all sang Christmas songs and went out and had dinner, and it was all beautiful. It was beautifully done.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the whole point, Linda. We've got to have beautiful events like this.
And that's going to happen on the 15th, too.
Oh, well, I hope so, because we got all the dignitaries there that night. It's going to be very big.
I'm not taking all that group out today.
No, that'd be quite the bill there. That'd be a big, big deal there.
How many is that, 30 or 35?
35, and growing. You know, I don't know who's going to win the fruitcake toss this year. What do you think, Linda? It's a big group. A lot of new people.
I understand that. The one that we thought that would have won did not win.
No.
The young guy won.
Don O'Bauer.
He holds the record.
Wait, has he got a strong arm?
Well, I don't know. You know, I still can't figure out what happened. He's a scrawny little kid.
Yeah.
70 foot he tossed that thing.
74.
Yes.
Underhanded. No run and all underhanded.
What would you say? He's a little kid.
Well, he's a little guy. He's not a big guy at all.
I would think that Sheriff Bales would throw that thing a mile.
Well, he could win. I would not put it past Sheriff Bales. Mike McGinnis, I believe, from my 600-pound life, he weighs over 500 pounds. You think he might be able to get it down there? But no, it was this little, probably 100-pound soaking wet kid, 20 years old.
And it threw it 70 feet.
Underhanded. Yeah. Did not run.
Almost on the porch.
I still don't know how he did it.
I don't either.
And I watched it happen.
So whoever tosses the fruitcake has a record to break.
Yes.
And it's a wide margin.
And Dono's in it this year, so I don't know. You know, maybe he's playing against himself.
Is that guy?
He'll be here that night.
Is he here?
He'll be here that night, fruitcake night.
What's his name?
Dono Bauer.
Is he from Marion?
Well, yeah, he works over at Donato's Pizza.
Yeah, pizza guy, right?
Yeah, pizza guy. It's all got a pizza tie-in in the end. It all comes together.
It's circular.
It is. It's very. Now, in the last hour this morning, we're all going to try the pumpkin pie pizza. Now, I'll be in on that. Now, it's going to be big, and that's how we're going to wrap up today during the 11 o'clock hour. So, this hour, we've got George inducted. We've tried the Fruitquake Mountain Dew. Friday, I'll try that when we put the ornament on the tree and all that. But it's a wonderful morning here on WGH Talk. And as we look back as Thanksgiving comes upon us, Linda, what are you thankful for this year? We did that earlier on with everybody else.
Right. Just thankful to be alive and have activity in my limbs and I can speak. Hello, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm just grateful.
And I think that's how we all should be.
Right.
You know, at this time of year. Now, what do you go for on Thanksgiving food-wise?
Turkey, dressing, collard greens or mustard greens, potato salad.
A little cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce. I'm going to have homemade cranberry sauce this year.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of the relish or the... Do you have a secret ingredient on how you make your relish?
I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it? Oh, you're not doing it.
It's actually a relish, isn't it?
Right, it's a relish, yeah. Yes. Ed Pickett is doing it for me. Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Now, what is the difference? We had this discussion earlier between dressing and stuffing.
Same thing. People now, just call it a different word, that's all.
But Bob said you have to stuff the bird with the stuffing.
Well, the stuffing would be more appropriate coming from the bird, whereas the dressing might be in a casserole on the side, but they're very similar.
Yes, you can do both.
Now, there are all kinds of flavors, though. There are turkey-flavored, cornbread-flavored, chicken-flavored, oyster-flavored.
My mother was cornbread.
Cornbread. I think cornbread's very good. Now, George, do you have a specific type of stuffing?
Dressing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuffing, dressing. Yeah, I know. Just a lot of herbs and spices. And, my favorite one is oregano. I like that. And, there's so many. There's so many herbs and spices that you can. And it depends on the bread, too.
Right.
A lot of people like different types of bread, too. Wheat bread, white bread,
sourdough.
Pumpernickel.
Right,
I like pumpernickel in there. Do you use pumpernickel?
Not in my stuffing, but I like pumpernickel bread, yes.
It has flavor, the pumpernickel.
Yeah, I never tried that.
Now, George, when you had the restaurant opened, were you open Thanksgiving?
I was sometimes, back in the day, back in the 40s and the early 50s, but later on, no.
Now, what kind of people would come in on Thanksgiving?
People that live downtown, because I was right in the heart of downtown, and there was a lot of people that lived downtown that didn't cook, and so my mother was the one that wanted to open on Thanksgiving, because she liked to feed people. And there was a lot of guys and people that didn't have cooking stoves and stuff like that. They'd come over.
Now, George, you said, was it the popcorn the surprise you had for us today? You had a surprise for us in the lamb bag.
Oh, yeah, the popcorn.
The popcorn, I love it. It's a great sidebar here to the holiday fixins that we're going to have.
Yeah, I thought, you told me before this,
yes.
George brings something, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to bring. So the last minute, Joanne says, why don't we just do some popcorn? So Joanne helped me out on that. And we had the popcorn, and it was...
It's a good choice.
I've already had a bowl of
it. It's a very, very good choice here.
Yeah.
Popcorn, because Marion is the popcorn capital of the world.
It is.
Yeah. Now, when you were a kid, George, 90 years ago, what was Thanksgiving like?
Oh, real homey. I mean, I'll tell you, it was like... I wasn't in Marion. I was in Caledonia. And over there, all of the people got together. I'll tell you, we had a feast down on the square in Caledonia, which is round. And, oh my goodness, a lot of people would bring in food, and we would have a festival, like, together.
Kind of like a potluck.
Yeah.
Now, Linda, what were Thanksgivings like when you were a little girl?
Little girl, just the same. As it's a tradition that you carry on from your parents and their parents, you know, as far as I can remember. But it was just, it's the smells and the aromas that, you know, that just saturates the house. You know, like the turkey. Turkey has a smell like no other bird, right? It just really does. And, just a good time, family coming together, you know. It wasn't, when I was a little girl, it wasn't about games. It was just coming together as a family at the table and being seated, watching Dad being served first, which is always an honor. You know, back in the day, that's how they did things, you know. Dad was first getting served, and then the children later. So, but we didn't feel any way missed, you know. But it was just a time of love and... fellowship and good food.
Another thing that you will be surprised, I'm talking about the mid 40s, 42, 43, wow. 44. The biggest thing, you're not going to believe this, was pheasant.
Oh, really?
Oh, pheasant was big.
Yeah. I believe that.
Do you remember that, Bob?
I don't remember pheasant, but I know we've had duck and goose various years.
Yeah, duck.
Yeah.
But the big thing, and there isn't any pheasants today. I don't even think they're available. I think they died out. Pheasants died out. But pheasant meat, cooked right, was delicious.
Now, why pheasant?
Why pheasant? Because there was an abundance of pheasants back then in the late 30s, early 40s. Pheasants all over the place.
And that's why we don't have any today, because everybody ate them all.
Yeah.
They ate all the pheasants, and now they're all gone.
You've heard of pheasants.
I have, but is that still something around? Can you...
I don't think pheasants is might somewhere, and maybe in Canada or...
Right.
Up north somewhere, there might be pheasants, but not around central Ohio.
Yeah. You'd probably pay big money for it.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You would probably pay big money for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Today, yeah.
It's rare.
Now, how do you cook a pheasant?
Just like a turkey. It's the
same
way.
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why does a pheasant taste better than a turkey?
It's smaller. It has less fat. And I'll tell you, if you don't remember, pheasants had those feathers that were red and green. It had a reddish green, bluish color. And that was really colorful. Pheasants, or turkeys don't have that. I think that has something to do with the flavor of a pheasant. Oh.
Well, that, and I think the pheasants, the wild pheasants, would be eating, you know, more of the natural substances, whatever, in their natural diet. Whereas the turkeys are more force-fed, for commercial purposes, and I think that has a lot to do with the taste.
There's a group in Marion called Pheasants Forever.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, they're at the fair every year.
They're dying out.
They have a tent up at the fair, and it's called Pheasants Forever.
But when did we start to see that disappear from Thanksgiving?
I'd say up to close to 10 years ago.
Really? So it's been gone now a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame that we lost the pheasant. Now, what are memories, Bob, you have of Thanksgiving past?
Just copying everybody else there, just, you know, or parroting them, family. It was always a family event. I know my mother would cook a big turkey, you know, sometimes, you know, in the 20-pound range or higher, because I came from a large family, seven brothers and sisters, and then you always had your aunts and uncles and other cousins coming in, and you know, the turkey smell would fill the air. It was a long, slow cooking process.
I don't like to give out, you know, information to restaurants, but a great turkey dinner is at Steve Dakota's.
They do a good one.
They do a good turkey dinner.
Now, are they open on Thanksgiving?
They sure are.
So you can go there and get your turkey dinner.
If you don't want to cook, and you don't clean up and the dishes and everything.
Wish I had known that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to do that anymore.
I know.
You know, our society is becoming different in that way.
Well,
you know,
there's other places other than Steve Dakota's that are open, but I've been there on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, remember I told you I used to work there?
Yes, yes.
After I sold my restaurant?
Maitre D.
Maitre D. And that went a couple of Thanksgivings. I was there for 3 years, and I remember Thanksgiving Day there. Wow.
Busy.
I had to move people around, you know, because I was the maitre d', and I had to move. Oh, it was busy all day long.
Now, do you think people don't know how to cook, and that's why they go out on Thanksgiving?
No, they just don't
want to
cook.
Don't want to.
Well, why don't we want to cook one day a year?
It's a lot of work.
But just one day.
That's the point, exactly. It's
too much, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Well, you know, the holidays can be very stressful for people.
Yes, yes.
Now, were you stressed at the holidays, George, with running a business?
Not at all. Not at all. When I was in my 40s and 50s and 60s, that's all I did was cook, cook, and cook.
Now, how do you cook your turkey?
Very simple. I baste it. I stuff it. Put it in the oven, and turn it on, and let it go.
Now, what do you make your stuffing out of?
Oh, all kinds of breads. I would get every kind of bread, wheat bread, rye bread, pumpernickel. I did them all. And people would say, wow, this is really flavorful. When you put all those together, Linda, it's really tasty.
I'll have to try that.
Now, do you use any kinds of herbs and spices?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All kinds of herbs and spices. How about the giblets?
Giblets.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how do you cook giblets? Now, that's a forgotten art.
How do you cook it?
You don't eat them. How do you cook the giblets?
Scott, you cook it on the stove with a skillet.
Well, I don't know. I've never done the giblets.
fry them up,
Linda,
with a little spice.
On the stove with a
butter.
Skillet.
Yeah. Just get out the skillet and you fry the giblets.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if I would like giblets.
And then cut them up into your gravy.
Yeah, well, make gravy out of
that. My base is olive oil.
And lemon juice.
And lemon juice. You know that, Scott.
Get a little lemon juice in there.
Olive oil and lemon juice, and you got it, buddy.
Yeah, antioxidants and the whole thing.
Right.
Put you there. Now, Bob, do you do anything special for Thanksgiving?
We're not doing anything too big this year. We're going out Wednesday night with my sister and her family. But my daughter's away at college and can't make it home. And, you know, so it would just be my wife and I, my son. And we're going to cook a small turkey breast and just...
So no stress?
No stress. I mean, if you're doing it for fun, there's never any stress. And if you're doing it just, you know, for, you know, it's like George was saying, if you enjoy doing it, and, you know, no matter how much it is, it's not stressful.
Yeah.
You know, and you do it for the, you know, the fun and the adventure.
Now, Linda, have you ever led the big Thanksgiving dinner, whipped it all up yourself?
Oh, yes, many, many times.
Was it stressful?
No, I think you do it in love.
But at the end of the day, you're tired.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course you're tired. But a memory came back to me when George mentioned pheasant. It was a big game day of hunting. And my dad, I remember, used to put on his Carhartt coveralls and take his rifles and shotguns and go hunting and bring back pheasant. And we would have that on the side as well.
With the turkey.
And with the turkey, and sometimes quail.
Is that right?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Ham has become a side to turkey on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people will have the ham with the turkey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's very popular.
Yeah, I'm not a ham person, but I had a very good ham yesterday. Somebody was cooking a ham, and I tried a little bit of it, and I'm not a big ham person, but it was a very well-cooked ham.
What? That's true. That can be very tasty. Ham and turkey.
Now, what kind of spices go in pumpkin pie? Allspice?
He looked at me like...
A little bit of sage.
Number one is allspice. But...
Then you have cinnamon and... Yeah. Nutmeg. Yeah, nutmeg.
What about
yeah.
paprika?
No.
Paprika? No, that's for like...
you're baiting us.
That's like
a little paprika on top of that.
Yeah, mix that with your flour. It helps make your chicken golden brown when you fry it.
I heard that pumpkin pie was really all about the spices. That's how you screw it up.
It is.
So allspice is the big one you got to have, though, if you're making pumpkin pie.
Right. Allspice is the big one.
Now, how much do you use?
You don't overuse it. You just use a moderate amount of allspice, depending on how big your dish is.
How much
there's so many different sizes of dishes.
And you have to taste it. My mother used to taste with the tip of her finger. Mm-hmm. After you stir it up really good, yeah.
And then you just dump it in the crust.
Yes.
Now, there's a lost art. Everybody buys store-bought crust
yes.
now.
Yes.
No more homemade crust. Mm. You used to have these people making homemade... George, you made homemade crust, I'm sure.
Millions of times. My wife makes homemade crust all the time.
But why is it so hard? Why have people given that up?
Because it's so hard.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it horrible?
My wife has entered the pie contest at the fair every year, and a couple of times she's won top prize.
With homemade crust.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it all leads into next hour, our final hour here this morning, with pumpkin pie pizza, which Bob has prepared. Now, Bob, give us a little a hint about what we're going to be tasting next hour for our big Thanksgiving dinner here.
The special pizza crust... two types of cheese, not your mozzarella, fresh mozzarella and Gruyere. Pumpkin cooked two different ways, roasted and sauteed. Pistachios, a little bit of cranberry. That's basically it.
On a pizza crust.
On a special pizza crust. I added a little orange to the pizza because orange and pumpkin go well together. And just a hint, you know, just and you may not even be able to taste it, but a really sharp palate might pick it up.
Now, how long did it take to come up with this?
We were experimenting ever since we first talked about it about a month ago. We made a couple test pizzas at home, varying different ingredients until we came up with the current combination. So I'd say it was in development for about a month.
Well, that's good. And you say it's more of a dessert pizza than a main course pizza.
Correct. Or a side dish pizza. But it's not overly sweet, although there's a little honey in the roasted pumpkin. But for the most part, it's just the natural sweetness.
So does it taste like a pumpkin pie?
No.
No. No. What's it taste like?
Pumpkin pizza.
Pumpkin pizza. Pumpkin pie pizza, George.
Now, I've never had a pumpkin pie with this taste, but it's good.
It's good. So, good. Well, that's good. We're all going to taste it here in the next
of
hour.
I'm impartial.
Now, George, these are little... Well, you created the baklava sundae.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you know about creating culinary things.
For many, many years, Scott, many, many years I did that.
And who was the biggest supporter of the baklava sundae? Mr. Isley.
John Isley, yeah. Isley Ice Creams.
Yeah. Who came up with the Klondike, right?
He came up with the Klondike, right. No.
Really? I did not know that.
No, John Isley came, one of the first popcorn festivals back when it first started. I was serving it one day out in front. I had umbrella tables. That's when the parade went down South Main Street. The first two, three, four, five, six popcorn festivals, the parade came. And John Isley came with 10 people. And I had served this couple a baklava sundae. And he said, George, what did you just serve those two? I said, it's ice cream with chopped up baklava and honey, a little honey on top. He said, make us 10 of those. So I made 10 of them for him. After John Isley had my baklava sundae, he stood up and he did his ding, 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 ding on his bowl, and he said, George Kasotis just made me a sundae, which is better than all the sundaes I've ever made at Isley's Ice Cream. And that was quite a compliment.
That's high praise.
Mm-hmm. High praise.
High praise from John Isley, the man who invented the Klondike.
Yep.
And you can still get the Klondike in the stores.
I did not know he created the Klondike. Where have I been?
But it doesn't say Isley anymore.
No.
Why'd they take the name off? For a long time, it did say Isley's Klondike.
Yeah.
I guess the new company said, heck with that.
Yeah, they just put Klondike.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, it was my understanding. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, that the reason he chose the name Klondike was because they weren't selling very well, and there was the Eskimo pie.
Yeah.
So that's where the name Klondike came from.
That's an area up in Alaska.
Right, and what is a Klondike, though?
What is a Klondike?
Yeah, besides an ice cream bar, what is a Klondike? Because that is a name that people use. I've heard people use it as a nickname.
It's the region of Alaska, isn't it? I mean,
is it? I don't know.
Or the Canadian Rockies there?
If anybody knows what a Klondike is, let us know. 740-383-9944. Earlier in hour number one, we didn't know about the Heisman Trophy, the gentleman who the Heisman Trophy is modeled after, and we had a gentleman show up within the hour with Bob Baker, showed up with the thing. The
picture
of the Heisman Trophy, the guy it's modeled after. So if anybody knows what the Klondike is, besides an ice cream bar, let us know. 740-383-9944. I bet the grocery stores today are mobbed. They've been mobbed the last few days.
Unreal yesterday.
Where are you out? You have to go home and take a nap when that's done.
I'm sure. All those people.
But you know, there is a nice atmosphere.
Yes.
For the most part. Although people do get angrier at the holidays. They do. And it's sad. But they do, at least when they're in the grocery store.
If they have to wait in line too long, yeah.
They have to wait in line, or the store is out of something, you know, they get upset.
Oh, yeah.
A lady yesterday forgot her ham, and thank goodness she came back.
I'm sure she did.
She walked in the door, and I said, you left your ham, and she said, oh, thank you, and, you know, I made her Thanksgiving.
Yes,
happy Thanksgiving to her. She got her ham back. But it was a thing, you know, but it should be more of a holiday atmosphere and not so much work.
That's true. And even if you work, you know, you have to work in love. I mean, it's a great time to be thankful, and not only that, to share, you know, with other people. There are many people who will not have Thanksgiving dinner. A lot of churches are joining together to help the homeless and the shut-in, which is a great thing.
Day Spring, I believe, has a meal tomorrow. Emmanuel Lutheran, I believe, has a meal going on tomorrow. So there are churches where you can get a meal tomorrow if you don't have the financial wherewithal to have a meal.
And don't forget, Logos Christian Ministries at 582 Lee Street is having their second annual drive-through pick-up your Thanksgiving dinner today, which began at 10 o'clock until 2.
Now they can. You just go over to Lee Street. You don't have to have a reservation or anything.
No.
And they will bring the food right out to you.
Right.
And it'll be turkey.
Probably stuffing.
Stuffing.
Green beans, probably.
Hopefully some pumpkin pie.
A roll, yeah.
All for free.
Whatever dessert they have available.
Yes. Isn't that amazing, George? Now this is a caring community.
Yes.
Day Spring has a huge crowd every year out there on Thanksgiving Day.
The one on South Prospect Street. What
is that? Emmanuel?
Emmanuel Lutheran.
Yeah, Emmanuel Lutheran. They've been doing that for a long time.
They have one inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, there.
And I think Day Springs is inside. During the COVID years, I think they had to have them drive through, but I think they're back inside now. And I know a lot of the seniors get deliveries, which it's really nice that happens on the holiday season. So we got the pumpkin pie pizza coming up, 56 and a half minutes past the hour here. George Kasotis, Linda Sims, Bob Welch. Now, Bob, George has now signed his pizza crust. Buckeye Guy has now signed his pizza crust. We'll go over and get Mary Ellen to sign her pizza crust after this. And then we will all come back on December 15th, the night of the fruitcake toss at 7 p.m. for the big plaque presentation. Now, tell people a little bit about the plaques that will be presented that night to George and Buckeye Guy and Mary Ellen.
Well, the plaque will be similar to what you received last year. It'll have a large picture of the pizza crust itself with the signature. There'll be a picture with the recipients on there. And then a little memento or something to represent the endeavors of the individual being honored. I don't want to give away what will be on the three plaques this year, but I've already have something for Mary Ellen and George, and now that I know Buckeye Guy was number three, I have something in mind for him as well, something to help represent what they stand for.
You know, Buckeye Guy gave me these little Ohio State things. Now, apparently these go in your Crocs.
Go where?
If you have Crocs, you push these in your Crocs. Okay.
Oh, Crocs.
The shoes.
The shoes, yeah.
Yeah, the shoes. Isn't that interesting, George?
Yeah, very nice.
But it'd be a nice pin, too, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You just paperclip that onto your whatever you're wearing in your Ohio State. It's going to be a big weekend for Ohio State.
He only gave you one of those?
He gave me four of those.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something? Got them all laying over here.
That's neat.
It's a big thing. And it's the holidays, and we're all having a good time here. And don't forget, we will be back on Friday. We will not be here tomorrow. We got another hour left today, but we will not be here tomorrow because it's Thanksgiving, so we'll all be home enjoying Thanksgiving. But on Friday morning, we will be here. The Christmas tree will be up, and Bob's bringing an ornament and the fruitcake pizza. Maybe we'll elaborate a little more on that next hour. George and Linda will be with us because next hour, in our final hour, we're going to try the pumpkin pie pizza. George, are you excited for this?
Oh, really excited. Oh, boy.
I don't want to toot my horn or anything, but I think you'll like it better than the Fruit Quake Mountain Dew.
I don't know. George liked the Fruit Quake Mountain Dew pretty good, from what I could tell.
A high bar there.
It seemed to go very well. And remember, you can buy that in the stores. They didn't give us any money, but the Fruit Quake Mountain Dew can be bought in stores. It is a Mountain Dew novelty. It's not a novelty, I guess, is it?
I think it's a novelty. It's only here for a limited time.
But is that called a novelty? Because that's more of a joke. Or is it more of a limited time
offer?
Yeah, limited time offer. Specialty. It's a specialty soda during the holiday season. Fruit Quake, which does stand for Fruit Cake Mountain Dew. So don't walk to your market and get yourself.
You know, when I drank that down, I forgot to tell you, I had a bowl of popcorn and my throat was dry and I needed some.
So you needed it. It was a necessary evil today.
Yeah, no, but it was tasty, but I finished it.
We got an hour to go. George Kasotis, Linda Sims, Bob Welsh, and the tasting of the... Oh, man. It's like the Macy's Parade.
It is.
Pumpkin pie pizza. Don't you dare tune away. 15 minutes, we'll be back.
The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
I was late.